Hey guys, welcome back to Maintaining the Meat in Marriage and Motherhood. I'm Lashana, and today I have a special guest. Her name is Patriana Jones. She's a sexual health coach, and her goal is to normalize the conversation around sex. And she has a book called Sex, The Taboo Tool of Self-Love. So we're going to be talking to her today about different sexual experiences and her experience with sex and teaching women about how to protect themselves and just different things that she talks about in her book. So we're going to get right started and welcome Patriana.
Oh, hold the applause. Hold the applause. I'm totally kidding, but thank you. That was a great introduction, by the way.
Oh, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, you make a wonderful and fabulous host.
Oh, thank you.
Podcasting is your calling.
Thank you.
You know, it's so, I don't like to say that I teach people anything because I don't teach anyone anything, right? But I like to say that I create spaces where, non-judgmental spaces where people can come and unpack from their sexual experiences and then from that learn to define it and explore their relationships to sex, right? Because it's very important. The average person does not have a relationship with sex. Like, they don't know really how they view sex. They don't know what their connection to it is. They don't know what their language within sex is. They don't know the language of their body. They don't know what it is they're looking to get out of sex. They're just doing it. And
there's people are doing so much sex. So it's crazy that to think that people don't really know about sex. They're just having sex.
It feels good. Or maybe, you know, people use sex for different things. Some people use it for pleasure, reproduction. Others use it to try and validate themselves. Others use it to try and woo people. You know, you have a, you know, when you were like, and people were in college and they thought that given the person of their dreams, little nook would get them to be attracted to them. And it's like, no, they're just gonna nut and go on about their day because they either want you or they don't.
Right.
But, you know, nonetheless, I say all of that to say that it's important for us to really connect and understand what our connection to sex is. You know, and so that's what my book predominantly does. But it's not, I don't like to write in a very objective style as though I'm teaching, because like I said, you can't teach anyone anything. For one, there's no monolith way to be, you know, like, you know, it's kind of like even when people are like relationship coaches or whatever the case may be. And it's like, really the only thing that you can do is help people figure out what foundation will work best for them. But you cannot have like this template of a foundation because it might not work, right?
Absolutely.
Like if people are in a polyamorous relationship, all that shit that works for monogamy goes out the window for polyamory.
Doesn't work.
And you can't try to make polyamorous people think that they something is wrong with them because they're polyamorous.
Right.
No, they just have a different structure and foundation. And they have to figure out what that structure and foundation needs to be. So, you know, I more so write in a style that's very personal and relatable, right? So it was all like, well, this was my journey. These were my steps. How do you relate to this? You know, like, let's unpack and let's figure out how you can plug in your own experiences and figure out what works for you the same way that I was able to unpack what works for me, you know? And that's more so my approach when I do events or even just like my writing style in general. It's very conversational, you
right?
know? Like, I'll tell a story like, so this is what happened, whatever the case may be. And then my takeaway from it was this is that, and this is that. And I realized like, man, like my vagina be talking to me, you know? And people would be like, oh wow, like that's so interesting. I had a similar experience. And then it's like, cool, bam, that's what we needed. You know, like we needed to know what, you know, where you relate to, what the problems is, what traumas or mental blocks you might have, and now let's work through it.
Right.
And we can only do that based on you. Nothing to do with me. I can just set the space by sharing something about myself.
Right.
So that's generally like how I like to do things.
And I love that approach because I feel the same way, like you said, with different relationship coaches and even therapy. It can be, it's the main important thing is to allow people to have their life the way that they want it.
Exactly.
It's not our job as a coach or as a therapist or as a counselor to interject our personal values onto other people, whether it's religion, whether it's what we think is right or wrong, whether whatever it is. It's like, it's almost like awakening what you feel is right or wrong for you.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like the Christianity approach, right? So it's like, okay, people have different religions. Right. So let's say, for instance, if you look at the principles of Buddhism, you look at the principles of Christianity, you know, at the basis of it, it's principles that are put into place that each ideology or each religion believes makes you into the best version of you, right? So some people will identify it as Buddhism. Some people will identify it as Christianity. Some people will identify it as being Catholic. And it's like, you don't necessarily want to be like, if a person is a good person, you know, who are you to be like, well, you're wrong because you label it as a Catholic and I label it as a Christian in order for you to be correct. It has to be Christianity and not Catholic. And it's like, well, how about you just commend them for being a good person?
That's it.
And go on about your day.
And let the Lord do his job. Yeah. How about you just worry about yourself? We're not God.
It's not your duty. That's not what you're here for. Right. So
that's awesome. And then when did you realize that you wanted to be a sex coach? Like, how did this all come about?
You know what? Like, I do not even identify as like a sex coach. Like, I identify as like a curator, you know? So, and it's just not funny, but so I was raised in wanting to be an actress, right? Okay. So like I was theatrically trained, is what I went to school for. Mm-hmm. Like I was inside and out an actress. Like even when I had got settled in, I was born in LA, raised in Lancaster, and then came back down when I was about 20 years old. And you couldn't tell me nothing. I was all like, look, I'm the next Angela Bassett. I'm going to play Angela Bassett in a biopic. When people would be like, you resemble her. I'm like, yeah, but she found me. You know, like she was just like mama. That's Mama B right there. And I used to spend my checks producing web series and all kind of stuff. Like I was an actress through and through. And then around the same time, though, I was in my first serious relationship. Okay. It was a very tumultuous relationship. We dealt with a lot of elements of physical abuse and emotional abuse and cheating and a whole bunch of other stuff that I also discuss in my book and unpack from a lot of things that would be relatable to a lot of people. And so it was interesting because when I came down to LA, I, you know, started coming out of my shell. I was introduced to a lot of powerhouse women that just kind of showed me a different way of living and a different perspective with life. And in my relationship, a lot of things started to shift because I was just like, boy,
I'm grown,
right? So, and I am the shit. Okay. And so we would get into arguments and I would be like, and you know, he would try to use those same scare tactics, but I was a different woman. So I was just like, so what's going to happen is she's either going to get the fuck out of my house, excuse my language.
No, it's okay.
Or I'm going to call the cops. I was like, because if you think for a second that I go to work every day, I work 40 plus hours a week. I pay my bills here. You think you're going to come over here and intimidate me and break my shit?
Okay.
Out your mind.
Out your mind.
I was no longer that 18, 19 year old girl like.
Timid, scared. Timid.
Yeah, I was like, you got 5 seconds to jump. What are you about to do? And he was just looking at me like.
Who are you?
Yeah, exactly. And it was also interesting because as I started coming into who I was, he started shifting and like. Buying me flowers and gifts and showing me off. I had the password to all of his. And then I was the one with passwords on my phone because I was out.
You doing me? You.
Like, I was like, I don't know. You know, it was this one guy around. You know, like, so it, I was just like, I don't want you to be in for me. Like, I'm popping. Like,
I'm popping.
Well, I got to see
I'm awakened.
I got to see what's out there in the world. You know, like, I got to keep my options open. So I was like a completely different woman. And so when we eventually did break up, I was into the dating world for the first time because we had never dated. We were best friends and we just became a couple. So I never dated like that. And when I was in the dating world, I was just like, yo, this is intimidating because there's so many rules in place and I wasn't used to that.
Yes.
I was just like, wait. Why would I fake busy for 4 hours just to make you, I just want to text you. Like, I want you to know that you're on my mind. I'm texting you. That makes me thirsty. Like, I was just like so confused at all of the mind games. And I was just like, this is fucking
crazy.
I'm not about to function in this. Exactly. This is not what we're about to do here. So
I'm not conforming.
Exactly. I was like, you know what? I said, look, I had invited a couple friends over. I said, I'm going to buy some pizza and some wine. And I said, I want to talk about the double standards in dating. I said, it's just so crazy. Like, I can't figure this out and I don't want to anymore. I said, you know, it's kind of like if you're dating someone or you're in the dating world, it's like, okay, if you're dating multiple people, not even sexual, but if you're just dating multiple people, then it's like, you know, you're wrong for that, even though that person is. So it's like, it's kind of like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Because the gender roles.
If I date one person mm-hmm. and we're just dating, like, and they're keeping their options open, but I'm just relying on them for my social and emotional and everything needs. Right. And then what if they don't decide to allow our relationship to culminate?
Right.
So then I'm going to be hurt because I've put all my eggs Energy. Into this basket that is was never my basket, yeah. you know? So, but then on the flip side of that, if you're dating multiple people, then it's kind of like, well, you know, it's like
you're
men will
serious.
Get, yeah, men will get upset yeah, and become intimidated by that. And I was just like, I can't figure this out. Then it's like, when do you even sleep with someone? If you wait too long, you know, and then if you give it up too quick, and it's like, I say,
the rules of engagement.
I say, you know what? We about to discuss this. So I had invited some people over to my house, and it was so crazy. I had got 2 boxes of pizza, yeah. and I had three wine bottles. Over 60 people showed up
wow.
to my house. My roommates was like, this is not
going to be enough.
Yeah. And they're looking like, Patrick, you can't be having all these people in our house. This is where we live.
This is where we live.
So it kind of started where I was okay. just like, okay, well, people want to talk about dating and sex and relationships. Like, this is something that a lot of people want to unpack from and vent right. about. And so I kind of got into that space of just like curating the space. And then I had always been really into conversations of like sex and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like when I was like 9 years old, I would be like one time my mom was laying on the couch and I said, Mom, I said, you and Dad are arguing right now. And she, my mom was all like, well, no, it's not like that. But it's fine. I'm just sleeping on the couch. I said, yeah, but you've been sleeping on the couch for like 3 days. I said, so does that mean you and Dad not having sex no more? And my mom was like, Patriana, you cannot ask me questions like that. And I said, but why? Yeah, I was just like, you guys have sex. I know you guys have sex. Right. You know you guys have sex. You're sleeping on the couch. That means y'all not having sex. So there's a problem there. Right. You know, and so I was 9 years old.
Identifying
yeah. that. My mom and them were just looking at me like, who is this little, go to your room.
Exactly.
She's like, oh my God, you guys act stupid.
Get that together.
So
get that sex line. Get that together. Like, you can't mess up with that.
Exactly. I was just like, oh my gosh, man, you guys treat me like a child. I was a child,
but right? But still,
it was just
you already knew about it.
Yeah, I'm like, it doesn't make sense for you guys to pretend that you're not doing something and you're doing it,
and it's normal.
I'm like, it's okay. It's at okay. 9, I need to know that it's okay. I feel, that's why I even, when people are like, oh, you know, like, don't discuss sex around kids. I'm like, first of all,
it's getting discussed.
And here's the thing. This is what I always try to tell people too. 1 out of 6 people have been molested before they're even of adolescence age. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So they're coming into contact with sex regardless. And it's better that you equip them with what they need to know so that when people do try to touch them inappropriately or come to them and try to manipulate them, they know
what it is.
And they're aware. Clear.
And they're like, this is not supposed to be happening.
Nobody could tell me nothing when I was a little girl.
Right.
I knew.
Right.
You know, I'm like, what are you trying to give me candy for?
Exactly. Like, signals. I don't need any money.
Yes, I was very much like, Dad, come outside because this guy is outside and he just got into his car. I was super cautious, you know, like, but it's because I was very aware.
And men do that. Because I had a friend, when I lived in Atlanta, I had a friend, she had invited us over and there was a guy there, was a friend of her boyfriend's and the kids were all around and he was like, oh, give me a hug. You know, when they were coming in to the girls, because he knew her daughters, but he didn't know my daughters. Mm. And so he was like, I'm gonna be, and so my daughters, they don't really talk to men. Like they've already, and not that we've even trained them that way, but I definitely make it a point to let them know that you don't have to let anybody touch your body.
Exactly.
If you don't want to hug somebody, good morning, good afternoon is good enough.
Right.
Hello, a regular
exactly.
greeting, not touching your body. And so he was like, oh, come give me a hug. And so they were kind of standoffish. And then he pulled out money and was like, I'll give you $1. And I said, excuse me?
Exactly.
What is that about?
Not bribing.
I said, so
girls.
You bribe children to give you a hug with money?
Exactly.
And he was, his face, he was so embarrassed. He was like, no, it wasn't like
that. No, that's exactly what it was.
That's exactly what that was. And
yeah.
we left. And I was just like, I was so pissed. I didn't even tell my husband because I was like, he too crazy. And I don't even feel like he wanted you. I didn't even tell him, but I immediately got them out of there because you're a predator.
Yeah.
Those little signals, if we don't warn our children, they won't know. And I talked to them immediately and I said, never take money from anyone.
Exactly.
Never take candy from anyone because they could be trying to manipulate you
yep.
and get you to do something that you shouldn't be doing.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's so good. And you're so right. As soon as kids are even talking about it, that's the time to talk about
train
it.
Them with consent. That's why there's a podcast called Sex Positive Families. Mm-hmm. And Sex Positive Families basically is a platform that helps families at a very young age teach their children, babies, mm-hmm. consent, and teach them, you know, like the basic principles of sexual education and sexual health, because it's important. Oh, I like
that. And that's, what's the name of that?
Sex Positive Families. And you have to at a very young age. You know, it's like people just want their children to pretend like it doesn't exist. And it's like, you cannot do that with, regardless if you, like, even if you never talk about it in your household, it's in the world. Everywhere you go, there's advertisements and songs. Other children have been, even if your child, like, you cannot save them. Like I said, 1 out of 6 children. So somebody has come into contact with it. And they're in contact with your kids.
And they're talking about it. Exactly. The Disney Channel. Everybody has a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Yes. On the Disney Channel. Yes. Nickelodeon. These kids' shows, cartoons. They're love. Talking about love, boyfriend, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. The girls are seducing the boys. This is happening.
Yeah.
You have to equip your kids. And your They're kids on YouTube.
Exactly. Hello. They have phones. They have access to all of these things. So it doesn't do you any justice to hide it.
Doesn't.
You know. Went all the way off topic. But basically, I know. That's how I got into it, though.
But yeah, that's awesome. And so how does your family feel about it? Are your parents like, oh, God, I'm trying to stop talking about sex all the time. What is going on?
They're 50-50. So it's so funny because they'll go back and forth. So the thing is, I also do, as you know, a lot of nude photography.
Right.
Right. And I do a lot of nude photography because I'm very passionate about normalizing the body.
Okay.
Right. So it's so interesting because I'm a sex positive person, right. But then I'm also like, but nudity is not synonymous to sexuality.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so they're like, well, wait a minute, which one is it? And I'm like, but it's both. That's the problem. You guys think that is one, and it's not.
It's not.
It's literally both. Like, right. We are duality. Well, people with dual, multifaceted ideologies, and right. You have to understand that. So it's like me, I can be a very sexual, sexy, sensual being, and at the same token, my naked body does not mean that you have access to have sex with it. Like,
right.
It just means I am a sexy, sensual, sex-positive woman. Right. Like, you know, so it's like people have to stop villainizing the body.
Right.
You got what I'm saying? And stop making it like, oh, well, you know, do this or behave this way to avoid assault. And it's like, no, it has nothing to do with the victim. What you need to be telling other people is like, no, you need to keep your hands to yourself. You need to understand the psychology of sex because sex is psychological. And you need to practice consent at all times, period. It doesn't matter if I'm naked, fully clothed. And all of that is trash anyways, because if it's body parts and scantily clad women and people that are causing these predators to assault, then why is it babies and old women and
right.
getting molested?
Little children.
And that's like literally the highest demographic of yeah. victims. So mm-hmm. what?
Yeah, so it's not the victim.
Yeah, they cleavage ain't out like mine. So what?
And you're grown.
Exactly. Doesn't make sense. So the whole principle and ideology that they try to push is just, once you really start debunking it,
right.
It's just like, oh, yeah, it actually does make sense. I'm like, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So, actually talking about the problems and not deflecting it by villainizing the body. So my parents, they are always like 50-50 because on one hand, they're going to be nervous because they're like, oh.
This is my daughter.
Yeah, like, oh, my gosh, what if there's, like, crazy people or right. stalkers? And I said, I always be like, okay, Mom, Dad, I said, do you guys know there was an X Factor singer? I don't remember her name, but rest in peace to her. Mm-hmm. She was out in Florida, and she had did a concert. And after the concert, she had a meet and greet where people was, you know, they could come up, hug her, and she was signing autographs for them. And a fan that was obsessed with her came up to her and killed her. Right.
Oh, wow.
She was not a nudist or anything. She was actually just a very sweet singer. I said, you guys would have approved of every wardrobe that she ever wore. Right. She got killed. So because at the end of the day,
psycho people are
psycho.
You can't really target what is making them crazy.
Yes.
You don't know.
It could have been a woman's smile. It could have been her hair color.
People have different crazy fetishes.
I understand as a parent, you want to believe that there are things that can be done to protect your child. And the reality of it is that you can't. Mom and Dad, I tell them all the time, I'm sorry. When it's my time to go, it's my time to go. There's nothing right. you can do to prevent that.
Right.
So you guys are either going to support it Or I could block you guys off social
media. And so you don't have to see it.
You don't have to see it. But either right. way.
This is happening.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with you, you know. So it's interesting because a woman, is a director from USC, she had heard me speak the other day. Mm-hmm. She invited me to speak at USC. Mm-hmm. And so my dad, and it was, I do very, very blunt speeches, you know. Right. So usually, so the particular speech that she had heard, I had started it off, I had said, I had recited a poem for my book that's titled Public Apology to My Pussy, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you guys are probably wondering why I am up here talking about my vagina to you all. But it's very important. And then I broke down, like, you know, the relationship that, you know, women in general need to have with their bodies and with their vaginas and how we have to reinsert ourselves into conversations surrounding our body mm-hmm. and all of this stuff. And so these older women, at first they were just kind of looking like, did she say pussy? But at the end of it, like half of them bought my book and they were all like, right. I want you to come speak at my foundation. I want you to come speak at the school that I work at and all this stuff. When I told my dad, he was just kind of like, oh. They're just always shocked, right. You know, it's just kind of
like at the responses.
At the responses.
That are like, positive.
Wait, you're going to be speaking at what university now? You're going to be speaking at what business, you know, because they're just like, oh my gosh, my daughter just wants to take naked pictures.
Right.
And then when they see that, like, oh no, these like reputable companies and schools and stuff are like actually booking me to speak. Right. They're like,
and they need the information.
Right. They're like, well, what's really going on here? Right. So they are supportive, but they're also just parents.
Nervous.
They're parents.
Yeah, they're parents. But yep. that's cool because it's like, and they've raised you to be very autonomous mm-hmm. and independent thinker, you know, and so it will lead you to where you need to be. And I think the more that we just do ourselves and do what God called us to do, it's like people will, they'll jump on board.
Absolutely.
You know, they have to.
Yep.
It's your calling to talk about it, you know.
It's what's going to happen.
It's going to happen. So how do you feel that men react to your bluntness? I feel like men get kind of shy. Like when they're the assertive, mm-hmm. you know, but when you do it back to them, right. I feel like they kind of clam up a little bit. So do you feel like they're,
you know, like what's so interesting? I actually have a large male demographic and 60% of my book purchases have come from men.
Wow.
Women. So I have a large woman audience as well, but I actually have more male subscribers. And it's so interesting too, because you'll think like, oh, well, they just want to look at naked pictures. And it's like, well, actually, no, like, of course you're always going to have that regardless. You're right. always going to have, if you're an attractive woman, you're going to have men. It's just like, I just want to look
at you.
But outside of that, I have a lot of men that will contact me and ask for advice about their women. Like, for instance, there was a man who had contacted me because he was married mm-hmm. for 4 years and his wife had gained weight. And he was like, I just don't know what to do anymore. You know, he was like, I'm not attracted to her body right now. And he was like, and I'm trying to be supportive. And he was just like, you know, like I've hired a cook, mm-hmm. you know, I've gotten us both gym passes. So like, I try to work out with her or I try to invite her to come work out with me. I'm trying to do all of these things and let her know. And she's just not
receptive
to it. And so he was just like, you know, am I wrong? Like, how can I go about this? And I told him, here's the thing. No, you're not wrong in that, right? Like, communication is very important.
Right.
So people have to, it's like, as to be a progressive society, we have to be able to accept the truth and accept the truth of other people.
Yes.
It's even like when people are like, when women get offended about, like if a man is like, well, I just want to have sex with you. That's not anything to get offended about. No. That is that person's truth.
And you should be happy that they're being upfront.
Let
with
them
you.
Be honest, because then you have two options. You right. can either accept what they're saying or you can say, oh, well, thank you. I also think that I'm an attractive woman, so I understand your attraction. But that's not me. That's not,
that.
Yeah, that's not what not I'm about. You. So thank you, you right. know, and walk away.
Right.
And that's it.
And you have your choice.
And you have the choice.
You're not being manipulated. He's not pretending that he's in love with your mind.
Let them.
And you date for 5-6 months.
Yes.
And just to find out, all, and then you give up to
give
Mickey.
Them that space and platform to let you know what their truth is. I've had people say all types of stuff to me on the first day because of my platform and
right.
who I am. Like, people, men have told me if they were like molested and raped by their dads, you know, mm-hmm. they've told me that they had like a sexual relationship with their sister. This one mm-hmm. guy had like a attraction to 16-year-old girls and he was like 29 years old, but it's like, I want that though.
Mm-hmm.
I want for them to be honest with me
right.
because that is the energy and that is the spirits that that person deals with. And the thing is,
and they need to be helped.
Yes. You like know? You have to create a space where people can be honest and you can be like, okay, well, let's unpack from that. So like, what is it that you like about that? Or like, what, you know, are you seeing a therapist? And I encourage them. Right. And usually they go and get help and get therapy to unpack and to understand their relationship with sex. It's all psychological. So, so with a lot of men, they are receptive and they'll reach out to me and they'll be really candid about a lot of stuff. And here's the thing, you have a lot of men that are very damaged and they've been through a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it scares me because these men, when they date, they're not sharing these things with the women that they date.
Because they're afraid.
They're just sharing them with me because of who I am and what I do.
Right.
But when they're out on a regular date, they have on their best face. And then when you fall in love with them, and their secrets start to come out, and you don't really know what the secret is. You just know the effects of the secret. Then you're like, who are you? And it's like, well, that person was that person all along. They just didn't have the space and foundation to
talk trust about
you
it.
With it, you know? And so it's like, no, we have to become a progressive society. Yes. And we have to make that space for people to be honest, because that is why you have this cycle of hurt creating hurt and hurt creating hurt, because people are falling in love with masks.
Yeah.
And it's like, take the mask off. Let's figure this out.
And let's talk about it, because the longer you're with a person, there are going to be signs of trauma. And as the person gets more comfortable, the more those things come up.
Yes.
You know, and so if you're a person that feels like you have your list, that list is going to be irrelevant because you don't even know who you have until much later on.
Yeah, until it starts to come out. Until it starts to flip off.
Because they start getting triggered by things. Maybe things that you may say to them or do to them, or, you know, things that may come up that trigger them.
They get comfortable.
And there's a totally different reaction. Exactly. And now you're like, I'm with a stranger. Yeah, because you're trying to put relationships in a box of, check this off. This person does this, that, the other. They're all on the list and they're all good. Yeah, they're good to go because they're already complying with the list.
Exactly.
But eventually it is going to turn into whatever it was going to be anyway.
Yeah. So when I did the Dating as a Black Man in LA forum,
that's why, thank you, I'm so glad
you came out and enjoyed it. But yeah, I remember one of the panelists, Chris, when we were talking, and I said I discussed sexual health very first date.
Right.
And he was like, well, I think that's kind of weird. I said, why is it weird? No, I need to know. Because it doesn't make any sense
to keep going on
and to not know. And then now 5-6 dates in, you're telling me this or you're telling me that. No. Like, that's just, we need to know these things about each other at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to be, you don't have to, for instance, if you're an individual living with HIV or herpes or whatever the case may be, no, I'm not saying that you have to tell every person on the first date that your status. You don't have to do that, because yes, you do put yourself at risk for a lot of things. Right. You know, people can hold that against you. What I'm saying is, when people date, they need to be aware of people's sexual behaviors, mental behaviors, psychological behaviors. So even just asking a person, I'll bring up an article and I'll be like, oh my God. So like, there was an article in the UK, a woman got, this guy went to jail because, he removed a condom, and like, they're calling it rape. Like, what do you think about that? And they'll tell me what they think. And then, okay, cool. Now I have a clear idea of how they understand and relate to consent and rape culture.
Right.
And the autonomy of a woman's body in general, right? And they just think we're having regular conversation, but it's telling me very important things about them. And then I'll be like, yeah, you know, I just, and then that opens up the gate for me to be like, yeah, I just think in general, like with sexual behaviors, like people just have to have conversations. Like, did you know, like most people don't even have a conversation about like testing? Like, I need to know, like, I need to know if you test, and like, before we have sex, like, we have to go get tested together.
Right.
Boom. Then they're going to give me their response on that. And that's important because this is telling me if we should even go on a second date or not.
Right.
How do you test? You know, do you get tested? You know, and people, they'll let you know, like, oh, yeah, I mean, you know, I do think testing is important, but not if you're monogamous. And I'm like, that's incorrect. You still need to get tested because the thing is you don't live in your partner's genitals. So you don't
know what's going on.
And it was like over 60% though of women, married black women specifically, made up the like over 60% of new HIV cases in 2018. Wow. So what I'm saying is the principles of monogamy is beautiful when mm-hmm. practiced, but you don't know if that's really been practiced. So
you don't.
You have to be responsible for your sexual health. Period. And if you want to not practice sexual health for the name of monogamy, then whatever comes with that is your fault.
It's your fault. Because you should know, and it doesn't matter. And I understand that people want to believe that their partners are the best in the world and that they would never do anything to hurt them. But it's a choice to
believe that.
But it is a choice to believe that.
And with every choice comes consequences. A consequence.
It is. And it's like you have to be, like you said, you have to protect yourself.
You are responsible for your sexual health, period.
Period.
You know, I understand. You marry, you become one. That's great. I love the ideology of it. But statistics show...
People are cheating. And think about it. If you're with somebody 10, 15, 20 years, you don't, there's all kind of ups and downs and different things. And cheating is not the source of the issue. There's other issues in the relationship that cause cheating. And so a lot of people don't know that. They think that the cheating, oh, we broke up because he cheated. Well, what was the issue?
Yeah.
What were the issues that you talked about? Did you ever talk about any issues? Exactly. Or did you just kind of glaze across it because you didn't want to know about it?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing from what you're saying.
It is. It's 100% the same thing. So, yeah. I mean, it's
just heavy stuff. And I think that that's what makes people not want to talk about it because it's really heavy and they don't want to face whatever truth comes with it. You know, you really people like the guy. People are afraid of the truth.
It sounds good in theory.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds good in theory. Like, well, just be honest with me. Tell me the truth. But in actuality, a lot of people don't want to know the truth. So for one thing I practice in my relationships is open communication monogamy, right? Mm-hmm. And that means that we are agreeing to be monogamous with each other. But we also understand and are honest about the fact that there's a lot of attractive people in the world. And at any moment, an attraction can take place. So if that happens, communicate with me about it. Tell me.
Right.
Don't hide it. Do not. First of all, I'm not the most beautiful person in the world. I'm the most beautiful person in my world. I know this, okay? You're going to be attracted to other people. I don't care how much you love me. I don't care how much I love you. I am not an idiot, right. Okay? When I see a fine-ass dude with some abs, I'm going to look twice. Period. And I'm going to be like, well, let me go home to my man. Let me go home to my man. Because monogamy is a choice. Just right. like love is, it's not, it's something that you are committed to.
You're
it's
choosing just like, that.
Love is something that you're committing to. It's not something, it's not a continuous emotion.
And it's not
emotion.
On and on, and it's not ongoing. No,
you're not always in the state of love. You're not always in love with your partner.
You're not.
That is not what keeps a relationship together. It is whatever your commitment is. To some people, it could be commitment to the vows. It could be commitment to the children. It could be commitment to the partner. It could be commitment to the union. To the whatever. Friendship,
whatever.
But it's not love. It's not the emotion of love.
No, it's not.
And it's just the same thing. In that, you know, so for me, I'm like, trust and communication is important to me, you know. So if my partner is attracted to somebody, well, we talk about it, you know. And I'm like, you know, I understand why you're attracted to this person. You know, they got a nice body, educated, all of these things. And I'm not a jealous individual, right. You know, because I know, like, you're choosing to be monogamous to right. me. And I'm going to trust you to do that. But I'm also going to trust you to be honest, right. You know. So, you know, if, for instance, if a partner was to come to me and express, like, man, like, I just have this attraction, I don't know, whatever the case may be, then I would be like, okay, well, thank you for coming to me with that. Now let's figure out
what we
want to do and what is next. And let's be realistic about it, right. You know, like, let's figure it out because it doesn't make sense to pretend like the attraction isn't there. Let me be a part of the decision making. What right. are we going to do?
Right. Because then that gives you your choice.
Yeah. You know? It's like, okay, you know, people do different things. Like, for instance, you can either be like, well, no. Like, it's just an attraction. I just need space to be able to talk and vent about it. And if you need space to talk and vent about your attraction to other people, talk about it with me. Because if you're going to go to your friends, I don't trust their judgment.
Right.
Okay, they're going to be like, man, bro, you YOLO. Better, yeah, like,
don't even ass, say nothing. And don't say nothing.
Yes. No, talk to me. And I'll be like, well, babe, you know, I understand. Like, okay, well, whatever the case may be. It was a past relationship that I had, and my partner was, you know, so he was a poly individual. I had never practiced poly. And
could you explain what poly is? Because I just learned about that a couple of weeks ago. I think it was Cheryl that told me about
really?
It. Who said something about a, no, it wasn't. It wasn't Cheryl. It was a woman, another lady from the church who has, like, these type of conversations. She's been doing it for like 20 years with like Sex in the Church. And she talked about this polyamory.
You have so different aspects. So you have polyamory, which is an open relationship on both sides. So, you know, in those type of unions, both the male and woman date other people or date them together. Or you have polygamy, which is where the male has. So polygamy, though, more so refers to marriage.
Having more than one wife. I knew one about wife, that.
And polyandry is a wife that has more than one husband. And then polyamory is like that, the dating of multiple people. But it's consensual. So all partners involved are aware of it. So he was a polyamorous individual, but he didn't date as far as like, he wanted separate relationships. Like he wanted more so like a triad, you know, of like, so, you know, we're all date each other. So he dates women that are either bisexual or open to other women. So he was just kind of like, on the first date, he told me how he dates, what he prefers, all this kind of stuff. And his honesty was just very refreshing. And I said, you know what? I'm going to continue to date you because I like that. Like, I can trust you. And to me, that's more important than anything. You know, it doesn't, if a guy is telling me like, you're the only one, baby, I want to be with you, that doesn't make me comfortable.
Because I don't know what you know.
I'm like, I would have rather.
We just met and you don't even know.
All eyes on you. I'm just like, yeah. How long though? You know, like, so his approach, my ex's approach was just very transparent and I loved it. You know, he was just like, I want a partner that I can be a partner with all things, you know, like even if I'm attracted to another woman, like we discuss it and like, you know, and we figure out how we want to move or act on it. But he was polyamorous, you know, so for him more so it would be like, okay, well, like if my woman is also fluid with this individual, we can invite her in as a triad. So like, you know, she becomes the union's girlfriend. So, you know, so, and it was one of my healthiest relationships, like no jealousy, no insecurity, no amazing sex life. Like it was absolutely great. You know, we're actually still like so close friends today. Like it was so, like, so he's dating like this other woman right now. And, you know, well, no, they recently broke up, but when they were dating, like, I would go and spend the night, and, like, when they would have their problems, we would, like, talk and stuff like that. It was not sexual. But I would spend the night and, like, give him space to just vent and talk. And I'd be like, well, you have to understand this. And I'm giving him, like, the woman's perspective. And it's just, like, a really beautiful friendship that we have. And, like, a couple of, like, it was a couple of weeks ago, like, because I've been on, like, a 5-month that sex spell. And I was just like, listen, I might need to use some dick in a couple of weeks. And he was just like, I said, but I'm a C. I don't know if I want to break
open
this.
Up that Pandora's box.
And he was all like, all right, baby girl, I got you. I was like, no. But, you know, like, but we just have, like, that open bond, relationship, you know, like a super dope bond. And when we were, like, in a relationship and very intimate with one each other, it was, the foundation was beautiful. You know, it was like nothing. Like, no one could tell me anything about my man, you know, like, at all, you know, like, you know, and no one could tell him anything about me. And so
what made you break up?
So I am a very, I'm not going to lie, I'm a very, Patriana Jones is through and through a Libra.
Okay.
With an Aries moon and a Sagittarius rising. And I say that to say that I am a, right now at the age of 24, I'm a very, I could be a very self-centered individual in that I always invest in me first, right? Okay. So what I mean by that is I'm always like, okay, well, if I put energy into me and the things that I want to do, I know that they will only benefit me because me can only benefit me. But I always second, if I have to take away from my business and my goals and dreams too much to place into another individual, I'm always hesitant because I'm like, well, the thing is that why should I, right? Like, I'd have to really, really feel compelled to do it because it's just like my first love, right? Like, I was
business oriented.
But the thing is, so for instance, with my first love, I was so in love with him. It's like, this is my man, this is my husband, this is who I want to have kids with, all of these things. And I put all of my space, my tears, my joy, my energy into him. And years later, I'm just like, what was that boy's middle name? You know, like, so irrelevant. Right. Like, it's not even
funny. Because
it's a
state of where you are at that time.
At that time. But
it changes.
It can change. You know, like, some people you don't grow with. And so for me, I'm just like, well, you know, I don't right now I'm in a space of like, I want to be selfish and I want to put my eggs into my basket, right. You know, like, and so with us, you know, he's like me, we're both attention whores. Right. And so he required a lot of time and energy that I just wasn't really able to give. Right. You know, I'm just like, look, I'm trying to be like on Oprah's level. Like, I got stuff to do, you know, I'll be traveling. Like, for instance, you know, like I'm going to be in New Orleans, the end of February, and then like the first week and something, I'm going to be in Oakland, you know. Okay. For him, as someone who's like very, like, he likes to be with his woman. Right. It's just like,
what are you going, like, out there for?
Like, yeah, it's just, and it's just like, well, I have to, like, I don't have kids or a husband for a reason.
Right.
And it's because if I get an opportunity to go out to wherever, I'm going to
go.
And that's how I am right now. I'm a free spirit woman, like, who's trying to create my legacy.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not a housewife right now. Right. And I'm not married for a reason, because I know that's not me.
That's not you. Right.
I am not going to do that. Yeah. Okay? Like, I'm sorry.
But your honesty is good, because some women will feel, you know, because you're, you know, and you're still young. You're in your 20s. But some women will feel like, oh, my God, if I don't have this man that I'm so connected to, what if I lose that and I can always get a career later. I can always do that later. But it's like, what if you invest all this time and then you don't have your career or your man?
So this is how I always think about it, right? What is meant to be is going to be. Period. Okay. And what is for me is going to be for me.
Right.
And also, I think that I am such a gift, mm-hmm. right? Like, I feel like everyone should think that they're a gift. Yes. So for me, I'm like, that whole ideology of like, mm-hmm, you need to get married before nobody wants you, that's never going to happen.
Right.
I am such a gift. Like,
and I love that you even say that. And I love that it comes from a place where you did say in your first relationship that you didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
And that you had to get to know yourself. Because I totally believe women, whatever situation that you're in, it can get better for you. Like, absolutely. As long as, that's why I'm so into teaching women about self-love.
Yeah.
Because you can't change anybody. Nope. You can only change yourself. But when you change, just like you said,
people are gonna change.
They will change to,
they were changed to fit and mold, and if they can't,
they're gonna move themselves. And then you're free either way.
Exactly. You're gonna attract who needs to be in your life.
That's it.
And that's how I feel about it. So I'm never afraid of that. Like, I'm never afraid of I'm like, listen, when I do get married, he's going to be so perfect. And it's going to be such a gift, because I'm such a gift. And like, right. I'm doing the work to be so perfect.
Right.
You know, and so it's just like, that concern just doesn't bother me. Like, no. It's literally not there. I'm like, first of all, you know how many amazing men that I know? People are like, I don't know no fine ass girl. I'm saying, I do.
Right.
I will hook you up.
I'm telling you.
I even hook people up. I hook friends up with my exes. That's how much I came for my exes. I'm like, girl, he was fine. Look, I ain't good in bed, because I'm not a jealous person. I'm like, the same way that he was good, so was the one before him, and so is the next one going to be.
Right.
Because there's a lot of beautiful people in the world. Right. A lot of brilliant people in the world.
Right.
And so my philosophy in general is just different anyways, you know. Right. Like, I don't live off of, so I believe in soulmates, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you, but people can be soulmates in different ways. Like, I have best friends that are soulmates to mm-hmm. me, and it's like, we needed to connect. I have my mentor,
right?
I consider her a soulmate,
right?
You know, like, I would literally tell her anything and be able to break down, and I know that she's gonna have my back, you
right.
know. Those are soulmates to me, you know. I think that it's just so sad for people to believe that, like, there's just this one person just destined and created for them. Because what that does is, so for instance, let's say you get married, right? For instance, you have that woman was on your panel, and she recently got divorced, or she's mm-hmm. going through a divorce, right? So if she believed that, you know, you
that
only
was
get
it.
Married once, that's it. That means she's out.
She's
given
and
her
she's
card
still young.
In.
But
and
she,
she's done.
And that's what I love about her, is that she's like,
no,
I'm going to get my fairy tale. It's going to happen for
yes.
me. I know what I want now. I've matured. I've gotten into this space, and I'm going after this feeling.
Exactly.
Like, and you have to believe whatever it is that you are supposed to have, you're going
you
to get
it.
You can manifest it. It's so true. It's like, you can build yourself up into this powerful woman and not feel intimidated. Oh, well, I don't want to feel too smart. You know, I don't want to be too smart, because then I won't get a man, because men are intimidated. Well, then you need to find a man that is even more built than that, because you are going to attract someone that is exactly what you need them to be.
Listen, there are women that have 6+ kids that are married, that got married. There are women living with HIV that are happily married. There are women, there are transgender women that are happily married. There are all different types of women
they
that
are here.
Married and being loved the fuck on.
Right.
So I say all of that to say, be who you are.
Right.
And you're going to manifest.
And
who
keep
you need
working
to manifest.
On yourself.
That's just it.
Because women, as women, we are not supposed to be out there with our flashlights looking for men.
Slow down. And it's like,
no.
If you
are doing you and doing you to your highest potential as much as you can, he is going to find you and he's supposed to find you. Not the other way around. You're not supposed to be out here looking for men. Trying to, because he likes this and he likes that. He is going to let you know.
And I just feel like, listen, life is full of journeys. Like, you have so many, literally, there's so many journeys.
So many.
And it's just like, love is one of them. Partnership is one of them. But you're not becoming your best self to attract your best partner. You're becoming your best self for you. That's it. Like, that's literally it. I feel like this whole ideology and narrative of, like, you know, like, be your best self so that you can find your best partner. No, be your best self, period.
Period. That's Let's it. Just put a pin on that.
That's it.
That's it.
If you are living your entire life just waiting for your perfect one or building up for your perfect one, that's sad. Please go learn a new language.
Do something
else.
Go
try some new food.
Or even after a breakup. That's what I'm like when people break up with someone and they're just devastated. I'm like, finish what you started. Because I'm sure you dropped some things.
Go get a degree. Like, there's
so many things
to do
to occupy your time.
In the world. So many experiences. And all you're doing is crying that you don't have someone to rub your booty at night.
So many booty rubbers out here. That is
chill.
It's somebody that's gonna want to rub
your
booty.
Relax.
It's coming.
It's not that deep.
Right.
It's not. I'm sorry.
It's just not. And I want to talk too, because when we were talking about doing the podcast, I do want you to, especially for women that are dating, to talk about the power of no. Like, what it is while you're dating, because we're in this free world. We can
right.
do whatever you want to do. And I want to bring it back to what you were talking about, because I loved what you said about the power of no, and really no being as important as your yes.
Yes. So, you know, a lot of people I find, I'm always like, yes, we got to be sexually liberated. Woohoo. And a lot of people, some people will get like intimidated by that, because people find liberation to be synonymous with like
AWOL.
Just bad behavior,
yeah,
you know,
wild.
Like just like off the wall. It means you're out just doing like clutch my pearl
right.
type behave things, you know? And so I'm always like, no, I mean, it can be for some, like
right.
sexual liberation looks different for a lot of people, but it could be celibacy. It could be staying a virgin. It could be being a nun. It could be being married. It could be being a sugar baby. It could be whatever you want it to be, you know, there's no judgment. So however you find your sexual liberation, as long as you don't feel bad about it, though, you know, if at any point you look back and you're like, damn, I shouldn't have did that, you're not liberated. Like you're moving from a place of whatever, angst, depression, escapism, whatever the case may be. But a liberated person does not regret their decisions. So within that, within learning your yeses and being able to say yes, you also have to be aware of what your no's are. And how you do that is you establish boundaries and you know what your expectations are. And so you have to be realistic with yourself. What are you looking for, right? So I tell people like, okay, do you really want to fuck on somebody or do you want somebody that you can talk to? And you got to be realistic
right.
with yourself. You know, like if you really want to be held, then don't open up your legs, because it's not your legs that you're really trying to open up. It's your heart. And
right.
you have to be realistic, because what's going to happen is, so some people try to use that sex to get the intimacy that
they
want afterwards.
For,
but
right.
it's like, no, be honest with the fact that you want intimacy. It's not sex, because once those sheets dry up, you're still going to fill that empty void.
Right.
So you have to be honest with yourself about what you want. Casual sex can be a great thing if that's what is for you. Like if you're in that space, like there's some women I know, you couldn't settle them down if you tried. They're like, oh my, they scared.
Right.
And it's not even from a place of, these women weren't molested. They
right.
they don't have any mental blocks. Like No, they are free spirits. Right. Like, that is just who they are through and through, you know, like, and that's just their energy. And they're just like, oh my gosh, like, I just love life and I love love. Poly people are like that, right. You know, like people that love multiple people, that doesn't come from a place. Most poly people do not have commitment issues. Like, monogamous people try to be like, well, they just have commitment. No, they're just like that, you know, like they're lovers of love, you know, and they just have a lot of love to give. And so, you know, they're like that. Cool. But if you're not a poly person, don't be poly. Right. And don't try to condition yourself to be poly. There's no monolith way to be. So you have to know what makes you feel safe.
Safe.
What makes your body feel safe. Right. You know, like I can have a strong sexual connection with an individual and be thinking in my head like, bitch, you liberated. Say yes. But then I'd be thinking in my head, like, I have to check myself. Well, okay, well, let's wait. Are you really in a space where, like, you want to do that? Mm-hmm. Or are you just, do you need a sex toy because you ain't had none in a couple right. months? And then I'll be like, Sometimes I'll be like, nah, bitch, you want them. And I'll do it. And then other times I'm like, well, no. Like, some things are better left fantasy than actualized.
Right.
And but I know me, right. though. You know, I know what Patriana Jones wants. You know, I know what will make Patriana like, I did that. And then I know what will make me be like, why did I do that?
Yeah, why did I do that? That space of regret for something because you just didn't think about it long enough.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm 24. I don't want those experiences. I'm not 18 anymore.
Right.
I don't want to look back and be like, why did I do that? Because you want it to. And right. if I don't say that, if I don't be in a space of like, yeah, I did it, I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it. Right.
You know, so no is just as important as yes. And it's powerful to say no. Let me tell you something. Look, I'm like, you need to be upfront about whatever it is. Like, even now, it's so funny. When I was first getting into the dating world, you know, I was that person that was like, oh, no. Like, I'll pay for my half of the date. And I'm an infinite woman. I'm all these things. But now I'm like, my time is valuable. First of all, you have all these men that are like, well, I want a boss. Okay, baby, how you want a boss and you don't understand time is money? Okay. So if you want a boss, which I am, then you need to understand that I could be making money. If I'm not with you. So you are approaching me asking for my time. You're going to pay for this date. Not only are you going to pay for the date, but you're going to figure it out. Now, what the date costs, that don't matter to me. It could be a free day. You could literally take me on a whole day of like free museums and like create the best picnic and we go to the beach. But the energy and thought and intention has to be there. And you got to figure it out. Don't ask me what I want to eat. Don't ask me where I want to go. Figure it out. Show me who you are and why I should give you some of my time, baby. Because I'm a boss. And time is money. Period. You know, like, or if a guy would ask me like, hey, can you be my date for this? Yes. So when are you going to come pick me up or send an Uber? Because I'm not about to drive. Like, I'm tired. I'm not going to drive the 40 minutes over there. Like, and you know, and it's not even about, like I said, it's not even about like, oh, I'm just going to put together these grand things so people can go through hoops. But it's like, no, my time is valuable. You are approaching me because you want to get to know me, which is fine. I'm willing to give you that space, but I'm not going to meet you halfway because I was walking to get coffee and you stopped me. So you're asking me to be open to the idea. So come on, this is a pitch, baby. Right. You're pitching yourself. You are pitching yourself to me. And once I realize, like, okay, I can deal with this intention.
Right.
Once I become invested, then all of that, well, baby, I got this date. Or, you know, I'll pay for this date. But before that, no, how entitled are you? You're attracted to me, so I either got to spend my money or my time.
Drive to go pick you up or meet you at this place.
To satisfy your attraction to me? I don't know what your intentions are with me. No. No, the answer is no. If you're not getting it all together and figuring it out, no. I will stay home and network.
Okay.
I will get some book sales because, like I said, what I put into me can only benefit me.
Right.
And that's guaranteed, secured in the bag because my intentions for me are good.
Right.
Your intentions for me could be just to have me in the back bent over while you know, I don't know what your intentions are with me.
You're right.
So I'm not about to.
Because you don't know how many hours, whatever hours you're going to spend on this date or whatever, it may be a complete waste of time. And now you done burn gas, half the date.
Makeup. Like, first of all, I wear very expensive makeup. I'm like, look, I'm open. I am polite enough to give space for you to pitch yourself.
Right.
And that's what you're doing is pitching. Because I don't. Like, I was, like I said, I was getting coffee.
I was, yeah, minding my business. You came up to
me like, hey, ma'am, excuse me. And I said, you know, that's fine, cool, that's nice. Let me know what you want to do. I'll accompany you and see what I want to do after that. Right. Buddy, you know, like, I don't know. So, exactly. Yeah, like.
So, I mean, it's just a good place to be as a woman to feel that empowerment. And like you said, but not abuse it. Yeah. Because you're not abusing your power. You're just being you. And you're just demonstrating self-love. Exactly. I'm not going to waste my time. Okay, you're cute. And I might want to. But I'm going to have to decide how that's going to work for me in my time, in my space. You know, and it's okay for women to feel that liberated to be able to do that. And I love the power of no. And that is, no is across the board.
Yep.
That's not just sex, not just dating, but just even with friends.
Oh, yes.
Or coworkers. Yes. Or
work, business.
Business, whatever. To be able to say no, it eliminates so much drama. You commit to these things just because you want to say yes. You want to seem like you're a good person. You don't want to tell people no.
Nope.
And now you've committed all these hours and days that you could have been investing in yourself.
Absolutely. Even like with my business, like, you know, so I have, like I said, my Keeping It Candid team, right? Mm-hmm. I don't sit there and be like, oh, well, you know, like, I'm just gonna like pay everybody. No, that's not how that goes. What are you bringing to the table?
Right.
Because if you reach out to me and you say you want to be involved with We Keep It Candid, okay, you're a volunteer until you've brought money into the pot.
Makes
you don't
sense.
Take out the pot. Right. Like, if you're not bringing money in, you know, so people would be like, oh, well, I want a co-host and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, cool, baby, but a co-host doesn't get paid unless a co-host is selling tickets. Because my place, the space is going to be packed regardless. Patriana Jones packs out the space.
Right.
So you think that
you coming along is going to make
Baby, I got enough energy for all of us. So if you're not selling tickets and you don't have the ability to sell tickets, you're not getting paid.
Right.
This is a platform for you.
To grow your audience.
This is publicity for you.
Exactly. Yes. And that's payment.
Yes. No. You know, this one girl had wanted to collaborate on an event, and she was just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, artists will want to be paid. And I said, well, here's the thing. People use words lightly, okay? Are you a singer who knows how to sing, or are you an artist? Because artists can bring people out.
Right.
People pay to see artists.
Right.
People just like to listen to singers. So I'm not going to book you as an artist if you're not, if
you
nobody's coming to check you.
Right.
But you know, like, what I'm paying you for, your talent, no, sweet, I'll listen to you on YouTube then.
Right.
Let me know when you've uploaded it to SoundCloud, because that's where you're at right now.
Right.
SoundCloud. And it's not to be realistic or like to short people of their checks, but it's like, no, I did Keeping It Candid free for a year, pay for all the wine, tacos, free tacos and stuff, my own pocket, venue expenses, all of that.
Right.
And I built my audience so people would know what they're getting from the space, and then I started charging.
Right.
Before I even wrote a book, I was doing blogging for years,
right,
letting people know, like, this is what you get. This is my style of writing. So when I did release my book, I got so many sales.
Right.
I'm over 300 sales, and it's been out like 7 weeks.
And you're independent, right?
Independent.
I mean, that's amazing.
Facebook and Instagram won't even let me market it because it has the word sex, and I can't even do ads, literally.
Oh, wow.
Just off my Instagram account that those sales have come in. But I've put in work,
right,
you know, so I can say, oh, no, yes, this is... You know, I've been hosting, and this is the amount of audiences that I've brought out,
right,
and, you know, this is what I can do, and this is my rate.
Right.
But when I first was on Keeping It Candid, no, everything was free. Even
right.
now, I'll do a lot of stuff for free because
right.
I'm still not nobody.
Still building.
I'm figuring it out.
Right.
And when people sit there and they'll be like, oh, my rate is this. Oh, no, baby, I don't do rate. I don't even ask people what your rate is.
Exactly.
Like, this is what I'm
you
working
do
on.
Something,
would you like to be involved?
That's it.
And once you've proven yourself that you are an entrepreneur, you are bringing something to the table, then we can discuss percentages and rates.
Right.
But before that, no.
Right.
And that's the power of no.
It's
like,
the
I'm
power
a businesswoman.
No.
We are friends.
Right.
But friends ain't got nothing to do with business, sweetie. No.
Right.
I'm sorry.
You can't pay
like,
you for that.
I will let you know that I have a powerful platform. Like, you never know who's in the audience. I've had business. Like I said, my homegirl, Megan, she has started a CHNO company. And, like, it was a guy from BCIF that was in the audience. Ended up getting her a couple $1,000s for her business. Because he had a business that helped black businesses start up.
Okay.
You know? And then other people that have gotten, like, campaigns. And, like you just don't know.
Right.
You know? It brings out really great black people and
business
creatives.
Opportunities.
Exactly.
Right.
So, just be like...
No.
Whether you're here or not, the event is going to be fine because it's my brand.
Right.
Like, you, it was existing before you came.
Right.
So.
And it's just a good place to be as a woman, like I said, and to be that powerful and be that confident in being able to say no. And I believe that all women are capable of that type of confidence. Absolutely. To be able to create a space in your life for love, happiness, self-care,
right?
All of those things. So we're going to wrap it up in a minute, but I did want to find out what your self-care tips are. Do you have any self-care tips?
Self-care tips. Yeah. Live in the moment. And when I say live in the moment, live in the emotions. Mm-hmm. One thing that I do is, so nobody knows, but I'm such a shy person. I deal with social anxiety.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
So bad. Like I will be like, my heart would be like beating, stomach, just like.
Is it still like that?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I would never know.
I know because it's like, you know, I'm able to just get myself in that space of like, Patreon, you got it, baby girl. Boo, you got it. But I let myself live in it. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm not even going to chastise you. As soon as you get on stage, the audience is going to react. You're fine. Right. You know, some days, I can literally get booked for something big and then, like, I wake up the next day depressed. And I'll be like, What's going on? Like, but it's just like, that's emotions, right? You know, like emotions are just like that. They're not consistent. And when you realize that you control emotional space, you just let yourself live through them. That's fine. Now, so I'm like, okay, I'm a little depressed today. What am I depressed about? Maybe I'll start my period. Like it could be anything. Right. So I'll go easy on myself. I won't try to fake the funk and be happy. I'd be like, yeah, I'm depressed today. So I ain't gonna be on Instagram too much like that. I gotta figure out what's wrong. Cause she acting crazy. You know, I always talk about myself in third person. Like, she acting crazy. My vagina, I call it spit. I'm like, she on something today. Let me figure out what this is. Like, maybe I need to buy a toy or something. You know, but it's like, that's how I am. Like, I just literally treat every part of myself like they are living, you know, right. They're expressing and communicating.
And they are living. Every part of your body is living.
Yeah, I just be like, oh my gosh, here she go again. Like, oh, I got to figure this out. Give me a day. Let me figure this out. If I'm crying, I'm like, okay, now I schedule a time. I'm going to go cry in a bathtub, right. You know, tonight because I ain't cried in a minute, or I'm going to do whatever, you know, like.
So just living in your truth.
Yes. It's okay to be sad, depressed, angry, all of that. Those emotions are there for a reason. And you have to live through them. You got to figure out what it's trying to tell you, and then you take it and you unpack from it and you grow into it, you know, like. I'm not going to act like I'm happy all the time. I'm not going to act like I'm not. I will wake up mad. Sometimes I wake up sad. Sometimes I wake up just like, yeah, because, you know, just vengeful, you know, just like, you know, I'll be mad, you know, let's say bills or something to end. And I'm just thinking like, yeah, because my parents really they just had me. Like, I didn't get them consent or nothing. Now I got to deal with
this.
I'd be mad at my mom. I'm like, hi, mom. She's like, what's wrong? Yeah, nothing. Just, yeah. What do you want? You know, just mad for no reason because I got to pay bills. So, you know, mom be like, Patrick. And I'd be like, no, because I'm just trying to figure out, though, like, why did you have so many kids? Like, I'd be mad. Then I call her later on. I get some good news. I'm like, mom, I just love you so much. Like, that's just so crazy. You know, mom be like, Patrick, what am I going to do? I'm like, I know, mom. I'm a handful.
I'm sorry.
It's a Libra in me. We indecisive. I don't know if I want to scream or cry, kick somebody in their shit. I don't know what I want to do.
Checks and balances.
Man.
Well, where can they find you, Patriana? What are your, what's your Instagram, Facebook? Like, what are
everything is Patriana Jones. So that's Patriana Jones, Jones. So it's www.patrianajones.com, Instagram, Patriana Jones, Facebook, .com/itspatrianajones.
I'll put it all in the handle too, in the notes, so that you guys can find Patriana, because she's awesome and she does events on dating. That's where I went to one of her events, dating
as a black man
in LA. She does, I mean, just check her out. She does all kinds. She's doing a kinky game
night tonight. Woo! About to get down.
So I'm so happy that she even came, because she had plans tonight, but she came here to talk to us.
I gotta come pull up.
Yeah. So tell them a little bit about the game.
Oh man, so the kinky game night. So, you know, I mean, at each event we're gonna do like different games, but for this one, so we have hard as a cocktail happy hours, and that's going to be just a whole bunch of drinks that are like keeping it candid special drinks. Mm-hmm. They all come with dry ice, so they have like a really cool smoke effect. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we have the dollar tacos, And some of the games are like Naughty Charades, Truth or Dare, Jenga, Lick the Whipped Cream, which is the grown and sexy version of Spin the Bottle. Mm-hmm. You know, you spin the bottle, you got to lick that whipped cream, right. whatever it's said, you got to lick it at, you know. Roll the Dice for a Sexy Fave. We have Sectionary, which is like the sex version of Pictionary. Okay. And it's a couple other things.
Yeah, you know? So it sounds fun, guys. So you got to look her up, find out about her event. She's going to be having those more often. If you can make it tonight, I'm going to be posting this later on. So today, I'll be posting it today. So if you can listen and find out where she's going to be at. So I want to thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for inviting me, letting me share a space. This is dope.
Thank you. Thank you. And I love to have these conversations because I learn so much from all of my guests. Every time I talk to somebody, I feel like I've learned so much, that's you dope. Know? And so I love just having this little conversation space to people to be talk, you know, freely about sex, about relationships, about love, because I do feel that people put relationships on the back burner, yeah. you know, to their careers or to anything that's going on in their life. And, you know, relationships are the foundation of everything, no yeah. matter what your relationship status is.
Right.
So I'm so happy to have you and to talk to you and for you to share with us such great information. And I will talk to you guys again next week. And please leave a comment on the bottom and subscribe to the channel so that you can keep updated for when I'm posting. And so that's it. And that's all.
Bye.
Bye. See you guys. Candid.